The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
And I'm calling this last theme for this series, You're Going Down. You're Going Down. What could all that mean? We will find out here in a few. And yes, it's getting hot outside, and I'll repeat it. It's going to get hot in here too. The AC's on, but it's just hot in here. You know, I was going to start worship this morning, and I greeted several of you, and I skipped my mom. And I sat back there, and I'm getting ready to go. I told the guy, sorry. I ran back and said hello to mom because I would have got a spanking. And she was already saying that. I ran back. She goes, you better came back. I was already telling your sister you were going to get it. So, hi, mom. I'm glad you're here. So, this morning, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. I believe that's what I have down. Yes, Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Jesus is speaking to the crowds and to the leaders as usual. And before I get into this sermon, as we're talking about being hot and going down, there's a little story of a successful woman. She was a business lady, and she worked in the area of New York where all these big buildings are, and she had a great job, very successful, great career. One day she got hit by a bus and died. So she wakes up, and she's in heaven. The angel's standing there, and she goes, okay, I'm ready to come in. The angel goes, you can't come in yet. She goes, what do you mean? I'm here. I'm in heaven. Let me in. The angel goes, no, we got rules here. She goes, what do you mean rules? No, let me in. I'm here. He goes, no, I serve someone higher than you, so we got to follow the rules. She goes, well, what do we got to do here? He goes, like the angel tells her, well, this is the process of our rules here in heaven. We're going to give you one day in hell, 24 hours, and one day in heaven, 24 hours. And then we'll let you choose, because God is the God of choice. She goes, all right, fine, let's do this. So they get in the elevator, they go down, 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 down. Elevator doors open. And as they open, she sees this huge golf course, immaculate, green, beautiful. And at the distance, a club there with the golf resort. And all her friends are there. And they're greeting her. And they're all dressed up in attire in these nice robes. And they're greeting her. And they're having a good time. So they decided to started playing golf and having a great time. And she golfed a horrendous game, as Brother Tommy likes golfing. She golfed the perfect game. So the evening went. They said, let's go to the club now. And they take her to this club, and they're feasting and partying and drinking, and she's just reminiscing with all her old friends, having the greatest time. And the angel comes and taps her. She goes, ma'am, your 24 hours are up. She looks, oh, I got to go, guys. I'm going to miss you. And they're crying and hugging and telling each other bye. And she goes, see you guys. And now they go up. And there they go up to heaven. The doors open to heaven. And all there is clouds and a harp. The lady goes, what's this? The angel goes, this is your 24 hours in heaven. Grab that harp, sit on the cloud, and play the harp. So there she is sitting, playing the harp. That's a harp. She's playing the harp. 24 hours are up. The angel comes back. She goes, oh, thank God you're back. 24 hours, I'm glad it went quick. The angel goes, well, ma'am, what's it going to be? She goes, well, I thought I'd never say this. It was nice up here in heaven, but you know what? I liked it better down there. All my friends were there. I think I'm going to choose hell. Great. So they send her down. Elevator's doors open. It's a mess. It's hot. Looks like a dump. All their friends are in rags, smelly, upset, down, picking up trash. And she goes, hey, what's this? Elevator's door's closed and the elevator's gone. So Satan comes in, hugs her, and she goes, well, welcome to our hell. She goes, what happened? Yesterday was beautiful. What's going on? Well, Satan, as he's smiling, hugging her, walking her in, he goes, well, yesterday was we're just doing like a boot camp training, and today you're part of the crowd. You're part of our team. So that's where her eternal life would be. And that's what I'm going to touch on a little bit. Jesus is very in your face. And I'm going to focus more on verse 23, but I will read now out of Matthew 11, verse 20. Matthew 11, verse 20 reads like this. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed. because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago and in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to heaven? No, you will go down to Hades, where I get my topic from, you're going down. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have been remained to this day. But I tell you that you will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence. I just pray you would speak to us. Let your Holy Spirit just fill this room, fill our hearts, and let us hear something fresh in you. And in Jesus' name, amen. I want to get right into this topic as we're all might be going down today as we hear these words. These cities, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, were very wealthy cities at this time. They were sort of like beachfronts, beach resorts, kind of like San Diego. They have all these beach resorts. These three cities in the region of Galilee were very successful. The ships were going through there. There was a lot of money, a lot of action, a lot of business, a lot of things going on. Just like us, if we were to go to San Diego and just hang out in these beach resorts and walk the beach, we tend to forget. And these prosperous cities were forgetting about God. And sometimes cities can get proudful, and God has to come in and intervene. United States of America has been a powerful country, a country of freedom. I understand that. Great country. But the saddest thing now is that we're getting further from God. We're missing the mark. We're trying to scoot God out of the United States of America. In schools, you've heard it. We've repeated it. In businesses, in your offices, you can't even pray. Kids can't, you know, pray for each other at school. It's happening. And this is what was happening. And Jesus wanted to direct this to them. They were being prosperous and forgetting one important thing, the fear of God. They were forgetting about God and having a good old time in their cities and their business and whatever they were into. And we can lose focus in the same way. We can distance ourselves from God. See, Jesus, like we read, spent most of his time, his 3 years of ministry when he was here was 3 years. He was around ministering when he was called out by God. When he was baptized by John, came up and the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's where his ministry started. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth was to repent. And he most of his time was in these three cities in the region of Galilee, like I said. And that's where he did almost all of his miracles. And these people still didn't get it. Can you imagine if someone walked in this morning, possibly with an infection or a horrible limp, and we're here in worship and they get healed immediately? We would just be in awe, but leave the doors the same. We might talk about it all week. We might mention it, but we'll forget. And that's what was happening here. They were forgetting the power of Jesus Christ and all the miracles he did. And he told them strictly right there in verse 23. And he said, you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? What did he say? No, you will go down to hell. Some translations say Hades. Some other translations say Sheol. Mine says Hades. Like I said, some other scripture says hell. It's hard to tell people you're going to hell. Jesus held no punches. He told them to their face, just as I look at you now. You're going to hell, people. Wait a minute. That's a tough saying. Yeah, it is. It hit me when I read it. But like always, I went and looked up the word Hades. It's not up there on the PowerPoint, but it's the word pronounced Hadasi. Hadas or Hadasi, which means an unseen world. There's a world we can't see, folks. But when we give up this tent, this body, our soul will go up and you're going to see a spiritual realm. That's the realm we can't see. And people take that for granted. We don't fear God. There's many people that say, ah, what about, you know, nothing's going on. I don't fear God. I'll be okay. It's okay if I do this a little bit. It's no big deal. Yes, it is. Because the Bible even says the demons feared Jesus. The demons are afraid of Jesus and his word. They would bow and fall to their feet and say, what do you want with the Son of the living God? And some of us nowadays can't even take a knee to tell God, thank you. Or take a knee and pray and tell Jesus, you know what, forgive me what I've done. Or forgive me, I want to get on fire. I want to learn more. I want to serve. See, God is calling all of us to bigger and new things. We need to move on. Sometimes we want to hold on and we don't want to let go. And we just want to stay there where it's comfortable. That hurts. It hurt me. I'm afraid sometimes to venture out. But I need to. And this is what Jesus is telling them. What happened? Didn't you see all the miracles I've done? I know almost a lot of you in this room this morning know someone or seen some kind of miracle, be it a salvation, be it a healing. You just see this person like, wow, you've changed. Or your marriage or your job. I don't know, but that's God's hand in your life doing great things. My house was in shambles, man, before Christ. Drinking and partying, lying to my wife, stealing, you name it. But when Jesus, his presence came into our lives and into our homes, the whole home environment changed. We started seeing God's hand over and over. And God challenges us in these times. I know you've seen great things that God has done. Run with that. In those moments of doubting or forgetting or wanting to give up, remember those moments and say, no, God, I remember what you did. This can happen. It can change. But we tend to forget the power of God. And Jesus told them, you need to repent. And all these crowds would see all these miracles Jesus did. For 3 years, he preached sermon after sermon after sermon. I have been here at Remnant a little over 3 years. And us three have been preaching sermon after sermon to you folks. And I've seen some of your miracles. And I praise God for that. And I would even rejoice with some of you. But we got to keep that going. Seek for more of God. And these people were losing it. Still no repentance. So my first point is this. They were losing the responsibility of man. I'm putting the responsibility of man. Verse 20. What does it say there in verse 20? Did I put it up there? Look what it says. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which he did. There it is. Most of his miracles he had been performed because they did not repent. See, he was telling them, look, you had the gospel preached to you. I was right here doing these great things. And you guys are still doing your thing, your own thing. You're not getting it. You're not waking up. You're not being quickened in your spirit. Why? Because we're being led by our flesh, by our needs and our wants and desires. And a lot of the times, that's not what God wants. He has other plans for us. And these people weren't getting it. And that's what he's telling them. You had the responsibility of taking in what I've showed you. The love and grace and mercy I had for your relatives that I healed. I've helped you. I've taught you. And they weren't getting it. And that breaks my heart sometimes. Because I see that side too, where people ain't getting it. And I get on my knees and I cry for certain names that I pray for, including myself. I'm not any perfect. I blow it too. And I get on my knees and cry and seek God and say, Jesus, I repent. Please change this in my heart. And sometimes he won't, folks, because we need to learn something from that. And only you and God will know what it is. See, the people forgot to fear God. Let's read Luke 12:5. Look what it says. But I will show you whom you shall fear. This is Jesus talking. Fear him who after your body has been killed has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. We're not up here as pastors trying to scare you in any other way or teach you some weird doctrine. We're telling you what the Bible says to do. What God can do in our lives through his word and living for him. Amen. There's another verse I put on there. Psalms 145:19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Oh God, my house, my marriage is in shambles. Nothing's going right. But then when you finish, you go and do your own thing. You forget about the fear of God. We forget for the moment. He's not a genie only when you need him. He's omnipresent. He's always there. Everywhere we've gone, everything we do, he's there. Another verse. Romans 1:21-23. This is a lot of people that Jesus is talking about here and people today here. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, to call themselves a Christian, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds and animals and reptiles. There's a lot of idling going on today. The world is trying to teach us, be famous. Look at this pretty girl. You can look like this. You can be skinny. You can be healthy. All these lies. Hollywood is good at that. It doesn't stop there. Books of how to make money and be rich. How to gamble. It goes on and on. Doesn't stop there. Look at a lot of the drinks we buy. They have some kind of animal, monsters, these other. There's idols. Those are idols. I'm sorry. I see monster logos everywhere. Those are idols, folks. Music is another big one. Music draws us to these famous singers. Who is it honoring and worshiping? Self or God? What's the song talking about? And these people were in these prosperous beachfronts, forgetting and partying and living it up. And once in a while, I'd say, God, my life's a mess. Well, God's saying, you don't seek me. You don't even want to live for me sometimes. Yeah, we all can be forgetful. I'm very forgetful, but I don't forget that Jesus died for me and I need to go through that storm sometimes. I need to suck it up and say, okay, God, I'm going to stand still and know that you are God. When he says walk, I have to walk. When he says hold on, I'm going to hold on. When he said I'm taking your wife, he took her. And he's getting the glory and I'm still going. I know my wife is looking down, smiling, saying, hey, that's my husband. I could hear her. She would say, es mi esposo. And so is my dad. My dad's up there. That's my boy. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. I know you created him. You gave him all that. But that's my boy. Ese es mi hijo. You see? You can't lose that fire. And the fear I'm talking about is not like the, ooh, it's not that kind of fear. This kind of fear, it means it's like a reverence, a respect, an honoring. We serve a living God that's doing works in your lives and mine. How can we for a minute or a second or that moment you're having that good moment forget him? I've said it many times. I can get back there and do all kinds of fancy stuff behind the drums, and I choose not to because I want to glorify him. I don't want to rob him of his glory. It belongs to him. Folks, it's not about none of you. It's about him and what he's going to do through you. And these people forgot. These cities, these buildings, and the food, and just everything around them. We can lose focus. It's okay to have those things. It's okay to be in the midst, but don't forget who you're serving and how you should be living around those people. God is doing such a big impact through me in my life at work. There's guys that don't know God that are coming to our Bible studies with their kids. One of them even confesses Wednesday. He started drinking a little more. And he said, Frank, I'm done. I'm quitting drinking tonight at our Bible study. Isn't that amazing? We had another little girl there bawling and crying. She couldn't even talk. So we gave her a moment to speak. And finally, she was able to speak. She goes, my family is part of another church, but I love the Christian church. And I want to be here and pray for me that my family will let me come. Man, that's the power of God. I saw that as a miracle. God is doing great things. And God is seeking the young ones, you young kids. He's seeking you. You're the next generation, young ones. You are the next generation. The church that's going to be. You are called. All you young ones, I look right at you. You're being called out too. Jesus wants to do great things through you. You're not here just because, or because your parents pull you from your ear. You got to go to church. Even though you didn't want to come, he brought you because he's speaking to you and all of us. Go out and venture, dare for Jesus. We dare to do a lot of things in the world. Man, I'd stay up for days drinking and partying. I didn't care then, did I? I spoke last night. My voice is a little harsh, but I'm here. Some of us are tired, the ones that were there with us last night. But it's the power and the love of Christ that compels us to be here. You see? It's funny, I was speaking last night and my daughter was there, and about midway through my speaking, she said she was talking to a friend there in Imperial, four blocks away. And she goes, where are you, Stephanie? My daughter, 70, goes, I'm my dad speaking around. She goes, That's, you know what's weird? I could hear him too. She had me in stereo. She could hear me four blocks away. I was like, what? She goes, yeah, Dad, I called her and she said she could hear you four blocks away. That's the power of God. God was calling her. She had no clue. She needs Jesus. You never know when God is working. You just keep doing it. And these people lost their focus. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's how we should be living our lives. Building on Jesus. Jesus is the rock. That word rock, that means Jesus. He is the rock of our foundation of our lives, period. A lot of people are building their success, their futures, on buildings with foundations of sand. Our marriages are under the foundation of sand. Our relationships are under the foundations of sand. As families, we're broken apart because we're living on foundations of sand. When you learn to live on the foundation of the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, those circumstances, those situations, those patterns in your life will change. My pattern of life was dark and evil, partying, drinking, and cursing. And the power of the living God came and changed me. My whole perspective of viewing life is totally different now. I was the least man to open my mouth to speak. Now I'm a motor mouth that cannot stop talking about Jesus. And that's the miracle. And he's calling you to do the same. Whatever he's calling you to do, don't shut the door. Don't shut him out because he's never going to quit on you. He's always going to be pushing on us to move and do for Jesus. To live a life for him. He loves us. But we need to take that responsibility to believe what it says, face value. There's a lot of other churches with different religions that go around texts, skip some books, so they can have their church. But you got to go face to face value. From Genesis to Revelation, you can't skip. You got to read it for what it is. Folks, friends, you still love me? I still love you. I'm sweating. My second point, the sovereign election of God. These people didn't realize God was calling them by name, even the cities by name. Verse 21 and 23, look what it says. Did I put it up there? Yes, look, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. And in verse 23, he's talking to Capernaum. He's calling these cities out, folks. And you know what God is doing right now? He's calling out Imperial. He's calling out El Centro. He's calling out Brawley. He's speaking to the valley. People are falling asleep. You need to be waking up. Are you listening to his voice? Or following your own pattern. These people were. They thought they had it on. Ooh, we got it. I know Jesus. I just serve him when I want to, though. Maybe once on Sunday every other month. That was some kind of dance. I don't know what that is. Me like Jerry. Jerry, where are you? I don't know how to dance. That's my step, Jerry. Some kind of wiggly thing. I don't know what it is. Thank you, Jerry. He said he liked it. I like Jerry's. He's like. That Jerry's is a good one, too. Sovereign election of God. The sovereignty of God is his power in control of everything. The sovereign power of God knows everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. Oh my gosh, I didn't know Frank was going to dance that way. He knew. He knows everything we're going to think, say, or do before we even do it. So why do I even ask him? He already knows. He wants to hear from you. He wants to see your heart. Do you really depend on me? Do you really want to serve me? You won't hear my voice if you don't want to serve me. I'll be there trying to push you and push you, bring circumstances in your life, ready to listen. King David said, Lord, bow down thy ear. I'm always pulling on God's ear every morning. God, can you hear me? I'm sure you can. I'm pulling on his ear, man. You can pray that way. It also says, Lord, stretch out your mighty right arm. It says in the Bible. And I pray, Lord, spread your mighty, powerful right arm over the Imperial Valley and waken the Christians up. Help them to start serving, speaking to their life, things, new ventures, draw them and challenge them. You can pray that. God, swing your right arm over my home, change my environment, change the situation in my life, in our lives. You can pray that. It's scripture. You don't know how to pray, find a short little verse and use it and run with it. It's God's word. You know what God loves the most? He loves to hear his word back to him because it came from him. These scriptures were penned by men inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes take some psalms and walk around your house and read them to him. He enjoys to hear your voice. How many of you that are mothers or dads love to hear your little kid's voice? You can hear him from far. That's my kid. It just touches your heart. I could hear their laugh. Oh, they fell. We know. Don't you love to hear your little kid laugh and call your name, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. God is the same. He wants to hear from you. He's our heavenly Father. But are we calling to him? Are we really seeking him from the heart? Not just from your teeth, from your heart. These people in Bethsaida, Capernaum, and Chorazin lost it a little bit. And Jesus had to get in their face and tell them, you're going to go to hell. You know what hate is? It's a place of shame. And when he said, you're going down, the part where it says you're going, it's another Greek word that means a falling down, a descending from a high place. They're going to go to another place, kind of like the lady in the elevator. In your face. I don't want to go there. I'm not perfect by far. I'm a sinner just like every other Christian. But every day I'm seeking God and asking for forgiveness, repentance, and trying to get it right. When I fall, I get back up. When I slip up, I want to make it right. When I hurt someone verbally, I go apologize. These people were missing the mark. They forgot the sovereign power of God that he's always there. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. That means he's always everywhere at all times there for us. A lot of times you say, no, I got this. I don't need you, God. This time I got it. I can control my life. No, you can't. Maybe for a little while and you think you got it. You got that stroll going, yep, it's all good. Got it. That's my stroll. We think we got it. But a little bit further down the road, you fall down. Everything goes to shambles. Why? Because God had another plan. God has other plans. God says in his word, I know the plans I have for you. We might think them, but he has the last word. We might go try to venture in them, but he has the last word. He's powerful. What did they miss? What did these people miss as Jesus was speaking to them? Look at verse 22 and 24. It says, but I tell you in verse 22. And in verse 24, it says, but I tell you. Do you see it? What did they miss? Anybody, what did they miss? What did they miss? You know what they missed? They had the presence of the living God right at their hand. They missed his presence. Folks, we serve a holy, powerful God that can do anything. But you need to be faithful and believe and serve and follow his voice and his leading and stay plugged in and come to church and read your Bible. That's what it's going to take. We don't live by bread alone. The Bible says we need to live by his word as well. First of all, we need our spirit, our soul filled, fed first before we can even function as a regular person. Because there's a lot of regular persons out there that act irregular and not godlike. Not Christ-like, because a Christian is a follower of Christ. Christ-like, Christian. Again, you take Christ out of Christian, what would he have? Ian, again, remember that one? Ian can't help us. You can't help yourself. We need Jesus. These people had his presence right there. And what kind of miracles did Jesus do and they didn't get? Look at this. Matthew 11, verse 4 through 5. Matthew 11, 4 through 5. Did I put this in my notes? Is it up there? There it is. No, that ain't it. Yeah, there it is. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to all the poor people. Man, if we saw that today, won't your faith grow a little bit more? Don't you think it would kind of wake us up? Man, they had it hands on. they saw these things happen right before their eyes, and they said, wow, Jesus, cool magic trick. We'll see you next week. I put my money in your hat. Basically, that's what they were saying. They were, wow, and go back and do their own thing. Doesn't work that way, folks. Doesn't work that way. You need to serve Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to be sold out and know that he's a sovereign God. He's going to see us through it. He's going to see us through it. So no matter what you're going through, Jesus wants to do miracles in your lives. And some of us have been waiting a long time. You've heard my testimony over and over. I waited 10 years and my family members are coming slowly, but they're coming. I have other members at home always talking about God. They're not saved yet. They have no clue they're going to be saved because they're always talking about God. Especially my oldest atheist brother. Every time I visit him, oh, bro, I said a friend. I was talking to this person at work and God this and God that. Or I saw this program. This man was talking about God. And I'm smiling, looking at him. Yeah, one day you're going to be saved, bro. And I'm thinking positive. Not saying, no, he's going to go to hell. He should come to Christ now. No. I'm just smiling, just saying in my heart, yeah, bro, one day. You're going to bite the hook. You're going to come to Jesus. Believe. See, sometimes we pray doubting. What did Jesus say in this Bible? Pray as it is going to happen. Believe it. 10 years waiting for my family. Faithfully, patiently, struggling. I say, God, and they're never going to come to Jesus. But I didn't care. I didn't give up. And they're coming. Some of your relatives are coming. But you need to believe positively. Think positively. It can change. God is sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing. Third point, and last, the free invitation of the gospel. Jesus spent 3 years giving them a free invitation to know about him. Remnant have been giving you sermon after sermon for some years now, giving invitations. Some take it, some don't, some wait. Some don't want it, just come because it's a cool place to hang out and kind of think you're a Christian. There's a lot of Christians out there that know the lingo and I'm like, wow, man, this person, they know the word and wow, they're on fire. And a little later, I see them acting not Christian-like, talking not Christian-like. I have a friend at work that struggled with that. I've known him 3 years since I've been in this company. And he's come in my office and man, his guy knows scripture. He speaks Spanish, but he knows them. And the minute he leave the office, I'd kind of see him through the windows because he works outside and I work inside. He'd come in and out, and sometimes he didn't know I was in the office. I was behind another wall, and he was using some words not Christian-like. His attitude was not Christian-like. And this went on for 2.5 years. Last month, he walked in my office bawling, said, Frank, I'm done. I've been trying to act like a Christian, but I'm not a real Christian. Now I've came to Jesus again. He gave his life all over, and I can see it now. He's real humble. He's not cursing at the guys no more. He's taking his time. He's accepting. Sometimes the boss will get on our face and sometimes scold us there in front of others. And he's taking it with a smile. And now he walks in my office, Frank. Man, this is awesome, huh? We got in trouble, but I can still smile. I wanted to get mad, but I'm smiling. I wanted to cuss at him, but I'm smiling and I didn't. The Holy Spirit, he tells me, held my tongue. He tells me in Spanish, go praise the Lord. And I'd hug him. We pray real quick. That's the power of God. The invitation is free. I've been asking my family members in a gentle, not in your face way, just living. Like Jerry and Jeremiah preaches sometimes. I don't preach to my family. I'm just showing them what a godly person lives like, acts like, talks like. I'm not going to get in their face because I've already told them about the free gift of salvation. Now it's for them to decide, just like the woman in the elevator. God is a God of choice. He lets you choose. He's going to let your family member choose. You need to choose to change your environment in your home and in your life or not. You can stay stuck there in the mud or choose to move on and try to go and hit the ground hard with that pick for Jesus. You got to break ground. You got to break ground. See, many families have curses, chain links tied that go back to generations. I come from a generation. My mom's going to hear this for the first time, but she doesn't know I studied this. I come from 4 family generations that go back from a lot of drinking. How do I know that? Because that took place a lot in my home, and all my family members were drinking a lot. So it goes back to alcohol. And alcohol comes with a lot of immorality and adultery and a lot of kind of other sin that God doesn't fly with. And those are broken when you come to Jesus. That link is broke, and you're the new chain that serves Christ, and you're going to start a Christian family, a Christian home. And things will start changing. Our daughters, when they were growing up and they saw me and my wife growing as Christians, they would say, "Mom, Dad, you don't even get mad, and you guys are acting weird." They didn't understand. Where are our parents? How come pans ain't flying? "Mom, how come you ain't yelling at Dad? And where's the cursing? How come there's no more beer in the fridge, Dad? Where's that lighter we always brought you, Dad, that you used?" They didn't always using it for drugs. They saw it. They were probably 9 and 10. And God will do that. Your environment at home can change. Your position in life right now can change. And sometimes, folks, please grab this. Sometimes God won't do nothing about it. I wanted my wife to be healed and live, but he had other plans. I hate to keep bringing her up, but God gets the glory from her death because she's shining with Christ in the presence of him. And there's testimony behind that. Yeah, and it's not easy for me, but I can smile through because I know where she's at, and I know what I need to keep doing is preaching Jesus, telling people, encouraging, praying, and pray for me too, please, playing music for God, whatever I need to do, I will do. I hope God's Spirit is encouraging you right now, whatever your little heart is beating about. I hope God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking into your heart something. You got to let it go. Let him move in that area. The salvation gospel is free. But what was needed for these people here that Jesus firmly, sternly rebuked in their face they were going down? They needed repentance, a whole 180. I was living this way, not for God, and now I'm living this way for God. And I once in a while want to fall, but I got to keep going. We will be judged, folks. You're going to give up this body one day. There's one appointment none of us in this planet will miss. It's death. We all got to face it. And it says it in Hebrews 9, 27 through 28. Look what it says. "Just as people are destined to die once, and after that they face judgment, so Christ will sacrifice once to take away the sins of many. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Are you waiting for him? These people in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, they were too busy with their own thing. Once in a while, they thought about God. "Oh, here comes that Jesus. Let's follow that crowd a little bit." Yeah, there he goes. They weren't all there. They weren't really repented. There it is. One time. And look what it says here. Where did I see it at? "And he will appear second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." It doesn't say for everyone. It doesn't say. We need to choose it. We need to choose Jesus. Salvation is a free gift because when you come before God, you have no excuse. God's going to tell you, "No, so-and-so ministered to you." You're going to try to find all these answers before the judgment throne, and you're not going to have one because you didn't choose Jesus. People are not choosing Jesus today for their homes. People are not choosing Jesus for their marriages. People are not choosing Jesus to have a proper relational friendship with someone because you don't have Jesus. Jesus loved people. He hung out with the worst of them. And if there was those that stunk and had leprosy, the people are like, "Oh, no, I don't want to go near him." Jesus hugged on them, talked with them. You'd be amazed what a touch does to a family member, a friend. It does many things. A lot of people don't know what a hug is in family homes. A kiss on the cheek between family members is rare anymore. You know what's really rare now in America? A sit-down dinner with all your family, laughing and talking, having a good time as a family. That's gone too. Not too many homes do that. And sadly to say, Christians are on that list. You need to once in a while find a day to get with your family and show each other love. Because you will be judged one day. And if these people didn't want to repent, and the people today don't repent, they're going to go with that lady in the elevator. People are responsible for the choices they make. Many today are not choosing God. The more people hear and see God's work, the greater is their obligation to believe. Guys, we've been here some years now, hearing from the Lord. From his word. Have you seen growth? Has your faith gotten deeper or weakened? Are you just standing there stuck, idle? Are you trying to move forward? Are you looking for excuses, compromises, justification for your reasons? You shouldn't. God, I really don't want to do this, but okay. If you say walk, I'll walk. If you stay, I'll stay. He has the last word. You make the choice. Amen. Woe is upon the hearts who do not repent. Woe is upon the cities of today. Jesus' woes are going around the valley today, around Imperial. Warning. It's a warning word. Remember last time, woe? Doesn't mean woe like we mean woe. It's a warning woe. He's trying to wake up Imperial, Brawley, El Centro, saying, here it is, last call. Guys, listen. The window of grace, of salvation, is closing slowly. One day, it's going to shut. It's going to shut. And people are not taking that choice to receive Jesus. We need to receive Jesus. That window's going to close. You need to live for him today. Amen? Worship team, come on up.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You